pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 2 Podcast.
This might be college football heaven.
Welcome back. As we begin the second hour, let's start with AC.
Mr. Feinbaum, how are you feeling? Thank you so much for taking my call. Mr. Feinbaum, I apologize for last night, but can you hear me this time?
No apologies Feinbaum, necessary, AC.
No, I have to apologize. I couldn't finish my conversation apologizing about that. It's okay to say sorry. It is okay, man. I mean, United States of America, you guys know how to apologize. Left and right, I'm sorry. Please forgive me. I heard that a lot, man. But here's another thing. I did mention John in Louisville is a great caller. He's an educated caller. That's what I was trying to tell you. Seems like very smart. It feels like, matter of fact, it seems like I have a favorite caller, even though I hate Americans, but it seems like I have an educated American that I can like. So I like John in Louisville. I like him. He's a sapient. But please correct me if I'm wrong. I think Tuesday, Jim from Tuscaloosa mentioned he's going to Alabama University and he's passing out flyers because your show it has become really good. Am I correct or am I mistaken?
You're right.
Yeah. Well, in that flyer, it says, my name is Jim from Tuscaloosa, and I always quit. AC approves that. Holla.
John is up next in Georgia. Hello, John.
Hey, Paul. John with Southern Range Logistics. How's it going?
We're doing great. Thank you.
Hey, I'm a long-time listener, long-time caller. Just want to get your opinion on a statement here. I am tired of these Ohio State fans calling into our show on the SEC Network complaining about the hit costing them a national championship. The hit didn't cost them the national championship. That sorry kick they had did. And I want your opinion on it because I heard you going with them last week about kicking them in the nads because they wouldn't stop.
Well, I think at some point you have to move on. I mean, they played a great game, but they lost, and I'm done.
They did lose, and they just need to take it and go with it. I think so, but they don't need to be calling in complaining about a football hit.
Totally agree.
Well, Paul, thank you for your time.
Thank you. Grayson is in Knoxville. Hello, Grayson.
Hey.
Hey there.
So I saw the AP poll. It came out a couple days ago. And I turned 14 next Saturday. In other words, the Vols have never been good my whole life. But then the hype comes and we get this new era, right? So I think we should be way higher than 12. What do you think?
Grayson, I would probably have Tennessee a spot or two ahead. I'm not devastated by it, but I appreciate your thoughts.
Yeah, I'm not saying they should be top five or anything, but a team like Washington, who, in my opinion, if they come to the SEC, they'll be lucky if they're over 500, should not be over us.
That's fair. Hey, Grayson, thanks. I appreciate that very much. Billy is in Georgia. Hey, Billy.
Hey, Paul. Listen, two or three things. I just want to comment on how proud I am and how much respect I have for Sonny Michel for having one of the best five-year careers and as a pro football player. And did everything he should do, made plenty of money, won two Super Bowls, and retired without getting hurt. I think that was great. And the other thing is last Wednesday, not yesterday, but Wednesday a week ago, I thought I was listening to the World Wrestling Federation with Vince McMahon when those four clowns, Legend and AJ and I-Man and Jim, got into it. This was kind of funny, but I'm kind of not surprised because you work for ESPN, and ESPN's owned by Disney, and Disney's forte is cartoons. I just hope your show doesn't turn into a cartoon show. And the other thing, the last thing, I'm still waiting for you to ask Legend if he was a husband or wife when he was in prison. Go Dogs and chow.
Maybe waiting for a while on that. Jay is up next. Hello, Jay.
Hey, how's it going today, Paul?
Jay, we're doing great. Thank you.
I love this show, Paul. Anyway, that woman that called earlier, I think she was the best caller of the week. The one that called, and she predicted Alabama to win it all.
Yeah.
I think Daniel said her name was Cindy.
Nanette.
Oh, okay. Anyway, Nick's not going to divulge all his secrets. We're going to roll, Paul. And to all the naysayers and the haters, we coming. Get ready. It's going down in T-Town. Roll Tide, roll. That's all I got, Paul.
Tom is up next. Hello, Tom. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Just not why I called, but just appreciate listening to all the college students interact with you. I think that's a good thing.
Thank you very much.
What I wanted to say, that all this conference realignment and land grabbing and NIL and transport portal really concerns me, that it's ruining the uniqueness and the identity and tradition and luster of college football. Now, I have to play all my cards. I'm a big college football fan, and it just seems like it's just ruining it to me. You got any thoughts on that?
Tom, in some ways it is. I agree, but I think you also have to live in the reality of it. And I don't mean to just pick something out of the wind and counter it. But in 2 weeks, we'll all go to games, we'll all watch on TV, and we will likely forget what we've just been through. But it is fairly traumatic and disturbing. And you have to wonder at some point when the whole thing blows up.
What? It's not so much the realignment, I guess. It's how the realignment's happening. I can't get my arms around how UCLA and Oregon and Washington not just play football games, but all the gymnastic and baseball and basketball flying back and forth all the way across the country. It just seems bizarre to me.
Well, I wonder how this is going to work out. It's complicated, and I don't think we're really going to know until we see it. But it's the one thing I would counter is that education is different than it used to be. There are a lot of ways for these athletes to do their work as opposed to what you and I did, and that was being in a classroom. Hey, thank you very much for the call. I do appreciate it. And Corky is in Fort Worth. Hello, Corky.
What's up, Paul?
Hey there.
Hey, now I know why. You know, I was sitting and talking bad about why Nick Saban would get Tommy Reese, but now I know why. And I know this is why Nick Saban is the best coach of all time. Remember years ago when he got Lane Kiffin, when all this offense started getting high-powered and everything?
Right.
Well, now the Georgias and the LSU are the pounding ground type teams. So Tommy Reese is good at that, don't get me wrong. And I think that's what Nick Saban is looking for, the pounding ground, because all this high-flying stuff, his athletes are now different, so he has to get those type players and the coach that can coach him. And so I think I'm going to take back what I said about him, and I think he did a great job because he definitely can get that. But I'm going to shut up and listen to you, Bo.
Well, thank you. Yeah, I mean, I think you have to look at what you have in your program. And, you know, O'Brien leaves, he loses the best quarterback he's had, and he doesn't see one in the pipeline. So he did adjust, and I think it was a necessary adjustment. Now, the question I have is how dynamic can you be, and if how good is your defense, and if you're playing a program like Ole Miss or Texas or one of these high-flying offenses, can you keep up is the question. Thanks for the call. Appreciate it. Wayne is in Georgia. Hello, Wayne.
How you doing, Paul?
We're doing great. Thank you.
Yes, sir. How about them Bulldogs?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Well, I'm just going to say, boy, they need to lay off Jim a little bit. I think Jim's a good caller. I don't think Legend's no count. He likes Alabama. I don't like Alabama. Give a hats off to all the Georgia Bulldog fans. And you got a good show, Paul. A lot of listening to you. And just give a hats off to Georgia Bulldog. And I hope we meet Alabama again. But I doubt that, because that's somebody they got their game plan going on right now. What do you think about it?
Wayne, thank you for the call. We will comment on that in a minute, but we must go to a break right now. We have another one of our student reporters coming up. This one from Knoxville. We met Caleb in Nashville a couple weeks ago, and he returns to the program.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Welcome back, and Caleb Giroux joined us a couple weeks ago in Nashville. He's the reporter for the Daily Beacon, that is the UT newspaper, and he has been gouging on Tennessee football and hopes to enlighten us all, especially about Joe Milton. Caleb, thank you very much. You've had a chance to see some practices. Fans are salivating, waiting to find out what has been going on. Good afternoon.
Yes, sir, Paul. How are you?
We're doing okay. So tell us about Joe Milton to start off. What do you learn?
Yeah, I mean, overall, he looks very crisp in practice. Obviously, we haven't seen anything groundbreaking, and he hasn't really played a real defense yet. But Josh Heupel, after their second scrimmage the other day, said that Joe Milton hasn't thrown an interception all training camp that he can remember. So I feel like that's a pretty good statement on how well he's been. He talked about at our Tennessee media day how he is – kind of changed his throwing mechanics to make sure that he's not overthrowing guys. So he's making sure his weight is staying through his body and on his front foot. So all in all, he seemed very crisp. He has a command of the offense from what we can tell. He's also a vocal leader on the practice field, which is probably just as important for a starting quarterback.
There were some issues last year with the offensive line. Not many, by the way, but occasionally that showed up. What does that look part of the offense look like from what you can tell?
Probably the offensive line is the biggest question mark right now going into the season. I mean, currently Cooper Mays, who is expected to be the starting center and kind of the leader of that offensive line group, had to undergo a procedure, which will keep him sidelined 2 weeks, probably maybe even longer. And then you still have a lot of moving parts. Miami transfer John Campbell has kind of taken over. And there's a lot of moving parts in that offensive line right now, truthfully. And the center spot of all is the biggest question mark right now. The depth behind Cooper Mays in the spring was a question, and now that Cooper Mays has been sidelined, that depth is even a bigger question. So they have Ollie Lane right now working at the center spot, and he's got a good command of the offense and the blocking. It's just when you have a new center, as anybody who watches football knows, especially in Heupel's offense, if that snap is off just a little bit, it upsets that tempo and kind of puts a wrench in the up-tempo offense that Josh Heupel in Tennessee likes to run. So hopefully some more offensive line questions will get answered. Luckily, the Vols have Virginia to start the season, and then an FCS team before traveling to Gainesville to face Florida. So there is some time to work out those issues.
Caleb, the defense is something I worry about because they don't get any rest. Heupel's offense is so quick. The defense is out there before you know it. What does that side of the ball look like?
Well, in Tim Banks' system, you sit in that 4-2-5 nickel. So like you said, there's not a lot of rest there, and you have five defensive backs on the field. So last season, depth was a problem in the secondary. And when you're running a nickel defense, you need a lot of defensive backs on the field to make the offense, make the defense run, excuse me. So this year they bring in a trio of talented freshmen with Christian Conyer, Ricky Gibson, and Jordan Matthews. So those guys have stepped up in practice. The depth is obvious in the secondary, which allows competition, which, as Heupel has told us over and over again, that competition is fueling excellence and fueling guys to get in the meeting room and be intentional in their development. So I think the secondary will take a step forward, which is the big problem from last season. You also have two veteran linebackers in Keenan Peely and Aaron Beasley who have stepped up to run this defense right now, and they've shown it in practice. They look the part, and you have a defensive lineman like Amari Thomas. Elijah Simmons has changed his number to number 10. He wants to play like a number 10 this season to be a new guy. So I expect the defense to take a step forward. That depth will fuel a lot of competition on that defensive end. That'll really allow for that step to be taken and to hopefully not put the stress on Tennessee's offense to score 50, 60 points every game.
Kalem, accepting the fact that rankings don't matter a lot, but we just had a Tennessee fan upset, a young man upset about the ranking. Was there any reaction in Knoxville to the number 12 position? It seems a little bit low, but again, plenty of real estate to make that up.
Yeah, I agree that number 12 does feel low. The biggest gripes I heard were people upset about Clemson being above Tennessee in the coaches poll, and I think in the AP poll as well, just because Tennessee just defeated Clemson pretty handily while Clemson had their presumptive starting quarterback for this year play. So that's the biggest gripe I've heard. I'm with you. I don't agree that preseason polls mean that much, in all honesty. And week three, Tennessee travels to Florida. We'll see how much of a jump they can take. And then I think they'll end up higher than number 12 in the end. I do think number 12 is low, but it's a preseason poll, and you can't really expect much more from it than that.
And you mentioned the Virginia game, and it's a flatliner to me. I mean, Virginia, it looked like a good game a couple of years ago when this came out, and I know everybody's excited about being in Nashville, but and it's not Tennessee's fault that Virginia sucks. But what is the level of enthusiasm other than to party on Broadway the night before?
I'm not sure there is a level of enthusiasm going into that game. I mean, Josh Heupel talks about it all the time, how good it is to get to the mid-state and kind of get some of the Nashville fans involved with Tennessee. I think the biggest thing is, while you do start with a high-profile game, albeit at 11 a.m., and it's basically against one of the worst FBS teams really in Virginia, it gives you an opportunity to see what you have in some of those young guys. They've stepped up in practice, but when you put them on the field, and when you put them in Nissan Stadium, especially first game of the year, will those guys float or sink? So I think that gives you a great opportunity to work out some questions on the offensive line. It gives you a great opportunity to work out some of your younger wide receivers. And especially, like we talked about in that secondary, it gives you a great opportunity to put a Christian Conyer or a Jordan Matthews on the field and see what they can do whenever somebody is going against them that's not wearing orange.
You know, I think the greatest opportunity, Kalem, is that you get home before sundown because it's not very far away.
No, it is not, and it's an 11 a.m. game. So Tennessee practices in the morning, and we saw last season when they traveled to Baton Rouge that 11 a.m. did not affect them very much. They came out of the gate hot. So morning practices, an early bus ride to Nashville for an 11 a.m. contest. We'll see what happens. But I don't expect them to start out slow offensively, but third or fourth quarter comes around, you get a good chance to see some freshmen and sophomores.
Kalem, we mentioned the number 12 ranking, and it's hard to imagine topping last year 11-2 and so many big wins, but the schedule sets up fairly interesting. The toughest game is at home against Georgia, much like last year. Tricky road game, as I mentioned. A&M on the schedule this year at home, but at Bama and at Kentucky in consecutive weeks. Another one of those you hate to be in Missouri in November type of games, but still, what is your assessment of the schedule, and what do you think it translates to in terms of a record?
I think Tennessee has a very good chance to get double-digit wins this season. There are some question marks on the schedule. You have it up now. That UTSA game could be a game that flies under the radar as one that could catch Tennessee off guard. You're in between. You're coming off a trip to Gainesville, and you have South Carolina coming to town the next week. So that could be one that could catch you off guard. Texas A&M is another team with a lot of question marks going into this year. They have a lot of potential, but they also could end up like last season and be disappointing again. So that's another game that could turn into a really good one. And then, like you've noted, at Alabama is always tough, even with the quarterback questions. It's hard to bet against Nick Saban, and I assume he'll have that team ready to play. And then a November trip to Missouri is never fun, but I don't think they'll have very many issues with that game. And then Georgia comes to Neyland Stadium, and this is a very good opportunity for Tennessee to upset Georgia at home. It might not, if it's an upset by that point in the season, late in the year, we could see that be the SEC East championship game, and that is set up to be a big one. But it's just a matter of getting through the games you're supposed to handle, UConn, UTSA, you know, like you said, Missouri. Those are games you have to win and you're expected to win, and it's just a matter of taking care of business against those teams.
We've got a Georgia reporter coming on here in a few minutes, and something tells me, Caleb, he just made a notation of Caleb saying, would it even be an upset to beat Georgia in November? Hey, we can't wait to see you in a couple of weeks. Thank you, Caleb, very much for joining us. And we will be in Nashville on that first Friday of the college football season, getting you ready for all the big games. And we'll also be ready to take your phone calls when we come back.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
And there was some big news earlier today. Justin Hokanson from On3 reporting that Peyton Thorne would be the starting quarterback. That has now been confirmed by Hugh Freeze, and Justin Hokanson joins us for the latest. Justin, thanks so much for the time. So give us what you learned earlier and tell us what it means about Peyton Thorne finally getting or clearing up a question mark at Auburn and on the Plains. What does it mean?
Yeah, I think it's something that we saw coming. I think it was just kind of a matter of when. I mean, he was brought in for a reason. He's the most experienced quarterback on the roster. He's probably got the best leadership skills in terms of just his overall experience. But I think he had to go through camp and go through scrimmage and practice just like everybody else. Hugh Freeze said today, going into last Saturday's scrimmage, he was the guy, but he didn't think Thorne performed particularly well last Saturday. He said he thought he was pressing a little bit, which can make sense, just trying to go out there and sort of stamp your place on the roster and make plays. And so he said he didn't like that, and that's what kind of made him say after the scrimmage, I thought I had an idea, but I need to rethink some things. It was just kind of Thorne pressing a little bit, but he did admit that Thorne's kind of always been the guy. And so I think after a few days of camp this week, he decided to just go ahead and tell all the quarterbacks and make the decision that Thorne's going to be the starter. I think it's important just to narrow down those reps. Thorne needs as many reps as he can get as QB1. And so I think once you've seen enough of the competition, go ahead and give him the reps and let him roll. He talked about Robbie Ashford today and said, you know, Robbie will always have a package with this offense. What I thought was interesting about Robbie's role potentially is he said more than once today, he said Robbie will have a role if he handles this right. And so I think that's interesting as well to see, you know, Robbie came here to play. He gets beat out by a guy they just brought in. How does Robbie Ashford handle it? If he handles it the right way, he can add value to this team on the field. If he doesn't, you know, that's a question mark. But Peyton Thorne being the starter is not all that surprising. I think he's got the leadership skills and the respect of the football team.
for those of us who have not been paying much attention to Michigan State these last couple of years, or what does Peyton Thorne do well?
Well, I mean, I think some of his leadership skills is probably the best thing he does. He's been inconsistent in terms of touchdowns and interceptions. I think that's about 2-1 over 2-1 ratio over the past couple of years. He had a phenomenal season there when they went 11-1, and he threw 30 touchdowns in the Big Ten. I think he's a pretty good decision maker. He's got enough mobility to be a threat in the RPO game. He's not Robbie Ashford, but he's got enough mobility that if you completely ignore him in this read offense, he can run the ball and make you pay around the edge. And so he's got a little bit of that. But I really think it's just his decision making, his understanding of the offense. You listen to the coaches talk about his ability to pick things up. He comes from a long line of football coaches. Of course, his father was an offensive coordinator in major college football. His grandfather was a coach. So he comes from that football pedigree. And so I think his understanding of football, his football IQ, and his decision-making and picking this offense up has really been impressive. We talked to Philip Montgomery, and he said he's just picked things up really quickly in terms of understanding what to do and when to do it. And so I think that's probably the best part of what he does, if he understands the schemes. And I think he's got a chance to be successful.
We're chatting about Auburn football with Justin Hokanson from On3. Justin, Hugh Freeze brought a lot of players in, but does he have enough to be more than competitive this year? What does this overall team look like?
I think he's got enough to be competitive. I think the depth is still an issue. On the defensive front, probably the front seven, really. That I think there's some question marks there, certainly depth-wise and even some starter positions. I think that defensive front is going to have to stay completely healthy. And then there's some potential at wide receiver with some guys that were brought in. I think we're just waiting on some of those guys to emerge and be playmakers. Some of that you don't know until you get out there during the games, and we'll see who steps up. But I think there's potential. So, I mean, like, I think there's talent there to be competitive and go try to surprise Texas A&M on the road or Arkansas on the road. And Alabama by the end of the year at home, I would think that Auburn team will be very different than what it is on September 2nd. So I think they've got enough guys to be competitive. There's just enough question marks that it's all got to come together. And I think that defensive front seven is probably a big part of that. That group's got to come together and be more competitive than they were last year. So I think the parts are there. They just all have to come together. And, of course, it starts with the quarterback decision, and we'll see how Peyton Thorne does. So I think the talent's there, but it's just so many new – you're talking about half your roster. It's brand new. So just a lot of stuff's got to come together, and a lot of that's not going to happen until you get into the season.
The good news for Auburn, Justin, as everyone knows, is the first three games seem to be manageable. But after that, I mean, it is just a brutal stretch as we talk about the schedule with UMass at California and then Samford and then at A&M, Georgia, and at LSU. I mean, it would be hard to find three tougher games in a row.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. I think there's a lot of hype and a lot of excitement, and they could very well start 3-0, but then they could also turn around and start 0-3 in the league. And I don't necessarily think it means anything bad long term. You just, like you said, those first three games in conference are tough, but they very well could be 0-3 in the SEC. And so I think there's going to need to be a lot of perspective from Auburn fans in terms of potentially preparing for that. And it'll be a test if that does happen, if the players are completely bought in. If they do start with losses to A&M, Georgia, LSU, how do they respond? I think we're not going to know a lot about this team until that College Station trip and then after Georgia. The first three games, you're going to find out a little bit, but you're going to find out a lot more after those first two games. It'll be probably end of September, starting of October, before you really understand, okay, what is this Auburn team and what could they be by the end of the season when they play Alabama.
Fantastic report. Justin Hokanson, of course, who first had the news earlier today about Peyton Thorne. We appreciate it, Justin, very, very much. We'll stay in touch as we head to the break right now. More later on, including a visit with Griff. What's the latest from Dogland and your phone calls right after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Are back, and Ronnie is up next in Georgia. Hey, Ronnie, good afternoon.
Hey, Paul, how you doing?
Very well.
I'm a dog fan, but I wanted to ask you, this new contract that's going into effect with ESPN next year, does that include ABC too?
Yes, it does.
So maybe we'll be having Southeastern Conference games on ABC?
They will be on ABC, ESPN, and SEC. Yes, all three.
Well, I'm going to have to find me another provider because that Walt Disney, they've been in contract with them for 7 months, and I still ain't got ABC.
Well, that's interesting. I have a satellite deal that doesn't get Fox Sports, so the Fox News, Fox Television Network. So that's those things usually settle right before the football season.
I hope you're right, but I appreciate it. And go Dawgs!
Thank you very much. Nice of you to call. Ernest is in Louisiana. Hello, Ernest.
Yes, sir. How you doing, Mr. Paul?
We are doing well. Thank you.
Yeah, y'all need to get y'all a fire stick where you ain't got to worry about all this. But listen, I'm a big-time LSU fan. I cut my finger the other day. I started bleeding purple and gold. I don't understand it. But look here. I guarantee you, we done changed our name. We used to be DB University, Receiver University. This year, we're going to be O-Line University and Championship University. Basketball girls, baseball. We're going to win football. Hey, we ready. And one thing I want you to do for me, Mr. Paul, when you come to Louisiana and you be on that game show, got that morning show there, I want you to put that tiger head on. And I want you to change that accent you got. I want you to get a little. You know, get like my partner sitting right here, Coach Ogeron. Go Tigers. See, I was leery about Mr. Kelly because he ate his crawfish the wrong way. He went from the head first. He was supposed to go from the butt first on up.
Is that right?
I was leery about that. But he learned. But, and then one fan that called earlier talking about he don't like the portal. The reason why he don't like the portal because he's not in the SEC. See, everybody leaving everywhere trying to get to the SEC because they know that's the minor league NFL, every team in there besides Vanderbilt in South Carolina. I think any one of them other teams compete in the NFL will definitely beat the Cowboys. And that's all I got to say about that, Mr. Flyman. I appreciate it. I wish I can catch you 24 hours a day. They could take off some of these Dr. Phil show and put you on the NBC prime time.
Well, they should take off Dr. Phil.
And go Tiger.
Hey, thanks, Ernest. This show sometimes feels like Dr. Phil. Trey is up next in Arkansas. Hey, Trey.
Wow. I didn't know I could get my freaking NFL team disrespected on a college football show. But anyways, I was wanting to go on a rant about the AP poll. Before anybody says anything, yes, I know it's meaningless, but still, it's nice to have a number next to your team name that wants to see the season start. Why in the world is Wisconsin ranked and Arkansas not? I looked at it thinking, oh, they must have a good recruiting class or a good transfer class or both. They didn't even rank in the top 25 in either of those. Well, Arkansas ranked in the top 25 in recruiting and in the top 15 in transfers. And we argue, and we have the best quarterback in the SEC and the arguably best running back in the SEC. And I think if Arkansas and Wisconsin lined up week one.
Here's the problem. It's the way Arkansas played last year. They were so inconsistent. They dropped too many close games. And I think there's a lack of confidence right now that Arkansas can rise up. And that's why they're not in the top 25. They can get back in there pretty quickly with a few wins. Thanks for the call. Appreciate it. Trey is in Virginia. You're on the air. Trey, you there? Michael is up next. Hello, Michael. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Paul. I have a two-part question here. I've not heard anybody explain about the NIL deal. If they pay these young guys, say, $2 million to come to their school and they don't make the starting team and they transfer, do they get to keep that money when they go?
Well, I think it depends, Michael, on the agreement. Some of these are long-term deals, especially for the top-level player, but most are not. The misnomer is that most of these collectives are a set amount of money, and I'm fairly certain they're for individual
yes, sir.
1 year at a time. But the guys that sign the big deals, it's entirely dependent on the contract.
Okay, and I've got a scenario for you, just to see what you would think. I'm an Alabama fan, not wanting Nick Saban to go anywhere anytime soon. I'm not one of these guys. Since we lost two ball games, the dynasty's over. But as his replacement, I don't think a lot of people want that job after him because it would be big shoes to fill. But what do you think about Lane Kiffin being the next head coach and maybe Jeremy Pruitt being the defensive coordinator? I'll hang up and thank you for your time, Paul.
Well, the Jeremy Pruitt case as it stands right now would preclude him from being hired for at least 6 years. I think it's going to be entirely dependent on what he does, how he handles himself, and really what the absolute final disposition of that case is. I think Lane Kiffin is someone whose name would be mentioned in connection to the Alabama job, but so much of that depends on when Coach Saban leaves, how far in the future that is, and really in a Lane Kiffin situation, what exactly has he done between now and that moment in time? Athletic directors like to hire coaches that have momentum. You hate to introduce a coach who has a losing record or has coming off of two straight bad seasons. I'm not suggesting anything. I'm just saying it's going to be very dependent on that moment in time. Thank you for the call. Appreciate it. And Lisa is in Texas. Hello, Lisa.
Hi, Paul. Thank you for taking my call. How are you today?
We're doing great. Thank you.
Excuse me, Paul, if I began coughing. I have COVID, but I just had to call in to your show. Paul, I got, there are a lot of, reports coming out of Austin, talking about how Arch Manning is looking, just saying he's on fire. Do you think there's a possibility that we may see him in that Alabama-Texas game?
Well, Lisa, I've heard the same thing. I don't know. I mean, that game is really entirely dependent on the flow of the game. I think the best chance to see him would be if there are certain packages developed specifically for him. But I think with knowing Steve Sarkisian, I don't think he's just going to waste a possession to put in an untested quarterback. I think some of it depends on what happens the week before.
Okay.
Thank you. I hope you feel better. You bet. Take care of yourself. Let's check in with Glenn, who is up next.
Hey, Paul. How you doing?
Okay, Glenn. Thank you.
Great. I think it's very important for a quarterback to be named before the season. It's good that Hugh Freeze has got him one now.
Well, Glenn, here's what you have to look for. You may not see one name, but internally, any day now, and I think we're about at that point 2 weeks out, you will be able to tell who the starting quarterback is primarily based on how many reps he is getting. You can't – with 2 weeks to go before the first game, you don't want to divide the reps up three ways. So right now I'm not even sure that's happening. I think it's become a two-man race with Milroe ahead, and most people believe at this juncture he'll start the first game.
Wow. I'd like to see Milroe because he's got a real threat in the running game. That would be a dual threat for him.
But and, remember, too, Glenn, the first game is such a pushover that, you know, even Tommy Rees and Nick Saban have time to burn. I mean, they want to get one or two people ready. The guy that finishes third is not going to be in a good spot. And then he'll be able to, you know, play around in that game against Middle Tennessee, knowing that he has to have a starter by the Texas game the next week. We will take a break. It's been quiet for the past 2 hours. That is undoubtedly going to change. Mike Griffith joins us next.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.